Amen.
Lord, we just thank you for this morning, and I thank you that we can just gather together for the Lord's Supper and just focus upon you and thankful for that you've forgiven us. We have a home with you. You love us more than we can imagine. And so we just pray you just meet us this morning, speak to us, reveal yourself to us, and just things we should know. And I pray each heart would be open, and I pray, Lord, you just anoint me with your Spirit. I just speak things of the Spirit. So again, we thank you this morning. We thank you what you're doing. And so, dear God, we give all things to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to look at something. Look at this morning. We'll be looking at James 5:12. James 5:12. Interesting here. It says, James 5:12. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Now, this verse is interesting, and this is one of the verses, you know, just being transparent, and as I love the Word of God, I love reading through it, and I would read this one, and, you know, I always attribute it to God and went through it, but never spent much time with it. It didn't just hit me deep, so I would just kind of, you know, not spend much time with it. And I've shared with you before, other times I've done that, I found out this was the key that God was speaking to me. So I just, you know, skipped it. Well, not really skipped it, but didn't pay that much attention to it. Well, this is one of these verses, okay, that it just, you know, and so I started looking at this, and I said, wait a minute, God, I want to understand, you know, more about what you're saying here. And what strikes me, so here we are, just think of all the things we've learned in the book of James, like really powerful things. I mean, just incredible things that God has revealed to us about himself and about salvation and just our relationship. And so we're finishing the book, and he says this. So he's given us all this stuff, and he says this. Above all, brothers, above all that he's taught us, above all, this, you've got to remember this, above all. Okay, what's this revelation? Let your yes be yes and your no, no. That's it. Oh, he does that so you don't fall under condemnation. I mean, he just kind of put this verse up equal with all the rest of them. Now, the message to me is, Wallace, don't skip it. Above all, brothers. So he's finishing James with saying, above all, don't you forget this. Don't you forget this. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. So when we look at all we've learned and we see the Lord telling us here, but above all, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Now, so our question should be like, okay, now why? What are you, you're telling us something here that's really important. What is the point you're getting across to us that's so important to you? And so in this last chapter, James, I believe, and by the way, there's, when you read this, there's no commentary on it. He's just saying, look at the rest of the book. So you have to look and say, well, what's the application? What are you speaking to me? So we look at this last chapter of James. You got to believe that the Holy Spirit, this is, you know, when I assess this, that the Holy Spirit is telling us not to be full of ourselves, but simply and concisely state the truth of God. Just yes be yes. You know, be not. Don't you get all full of yourself. Think you have something here that you want to add to it. So it's telling us, I think, that adding a lot of excess commentary may bring our own condemnation. Be careful what you add to this. Just, okay. Also, it definitely is saying swearing by any oaths takes focus off the pure action of Jesus. So, it's like, and then what do you mean by swearing oaths? This is what it reminded me of years ago. I work with this kid, you know, we're the same age, but, you know, as working through college. And he would always say, anytime you talk to him, he'd go, I guarantee this is the way it happens. He used it all the time. I guarantee, totally irritation. But I think this is what God's talking about. Don't you guarantee anything. Don't say guarantee. You just pulled yourself into that. Don't do that. So he's saying, don't swear by these oaths. Just say what I have to say. And he uses the word, are you going to fall under condemnation? Well, why would you fall under condemnation? Well, I'm looking at it because you're taking the focus off what Jesus is doing on your guarantee what Jesus is doing. No, you don't want in the equation. You want to keep Jesus as the head of the equation. So I think that's really one of the main things he's saying here. And the other reason, when you look at a statement like this, I mean, the world is not spinning around on this statement, you know, but he puts here and he puts emphasis on it. Well, even to make it more important, you look back at Matthew 5:37, Jesus says it. Jesus, hey Jesus, what do you have to say to me? He goes, Matthew 5:37, let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. I was thinking a little bigger revelation than this. Lord, okay, this is so my point is, the Bible is making a big, you know, a big emphasis on this, and so we need to kind of pay attention. And I really do believe, when I look at it, it's God is saying, don't be full of yourselves. Don't draw attention to yourself. Focus on Christ and what he says. Just yes, be yes, and no, no. I definitely think that's the big picture. Well, also, this morning, in application to this, is an application to share with you this morning what I think the Lord's saying. I want to share a personal application of these verses in my life. I mean, where the Lord actually, you know, used these verses and related verses and actually spoke to me and actually changed an aspect of my life and how I actually live my life. So it's very personal, and it really did have that kind of impact. So anyway, so it's adding to the application. This is my personal experience. So y'all can just be with me in the journey, and hopefully I'll minister to you and how it opened my eyes to things that what God is trying to say, the big picture, as he's personally talked to me. Now, as many of you know, I came to know Jesus when I came to know Christ as my Savior. I was forgiven. I was outside the church. I didn't go to church, but I came to that conclusion by reading the Bible. Just that, by reading the Bible. Therefore, because I based all I knew and my salvation on the Bible and the inspiration of God, therefore, I was absolutely horrified by professing believers who did not believe the Bible. So I based everything about myself on the Bible, and you talk to believers who didn't believe it. Oh, you know, that's it. Fighting words. I mean, a legitimate, you're supposed to fight, right? For what God has said. Now, that's what I thought. But it was even, didn't believe, or if they questioned that the Bible was inspired. Now, if people outside the church questioned, whatever, but people inside the church. So anyway, being horrified by this, maybe I didn't communicate exactly the way I should have communicated to them about our disagreement. You know, even if you happen to be the pastor of the church, that doesn't go over well either. Okay, so it was good. That attitude was good for me. That really helped me identify and reject false teachers immediately. Ooh, I could just smell them. You know, and it's just like at that. So, however, here's the however. However, my feelings, I'm not saying this was what it was supposed to be, but my feelings of responsibility to protect biblical truth, I often fail to exhibit the love and grace of God. You know, I saw this. It was actually on television. Just saw it, but it's this lady, young lady, had a big Bible, and she's sharing the gospel, and a guy disagreed with her. She shared again. He disagreed, and she hauled off and took her Bible and hit him right upside the head and knocked him down. And my thought was, amen, sister. Okay, so, but anyway, the Lord goes, Wallace, I don't, you know, you need to, you know, knock off some rough edges here. There's a better approach, what you can do. Anyway, to make a long story short, God again spoke to me in the scriptures. He again spoke to me in the scriptures and revealed to me my error in Proverbs, my error. Now, it's tied to this, let your BS be yes and your no, no. But it was the other verses, you know, with it that the Lord spoke to me. And it's not like I hadn't been addressed about this issue before. So, you know, Pete said, listen, you need to lighten up here. Now, so, and two, you know, it, you know, I think back, you need to lighten up. What do you mean, lighten up about Jesus? Not happening. So anyway, the Lord used a verse and spoke to me, really spoke to me as it's processing through. Now, this was over a period of time, years and whatever, but he spoke to me. And the verse he really spoke to me was in Proverbs. It's Proverbs. And look at Proverbs 22:12. Now, again, it's very personal as I'm going through this and trying to, you know, walk through how to understand what the God was showing me and how to live it out. He spoke to me in Proverbs 22:12 and said this, "The eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge." Now, he's speaking to me. "The eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, and he frustrates the words of the unfaithful." God keeps watch over his knowledge. He frustrates the words of the unfaithful. Or as in the kind of an amplified version, the New Century Version, it says this, "The Lord guards knowledge. He destroys false words." He destroys false words. And so what happened there, when I read that, just the scripture I had read before, when I read that, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that it is God's responsibility to guard knowledge. And he would frustrate those who mishandle his words. Do you know what God spoke to me? He says, "I do that, not you." You see? He said, "I do that, not you." And he says, what you're doing is not your job. You're doing my job, like that, and not your job. And that's the issue here. That's the issue here. And so it's clear, the point was clear enough to me that the Lord himself vindicates his truth. Now, see, this takes an element of faith that you believe that God is involved in this situation and he is working within these situations. But in a lack of belief that, well, God's not really in there, so it won't be answered unless I do it. And I really believe it, so, you know, all bets are off. You know, love the girl. They hit the guy in the face with the Bible. Me and her, you know, it's like we're just, yes. God goes, no, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And so it is God who vindicates the truth. Now, granted, he'll tell you to share the truth, But then we should share the truth, and we should be excited to say, let's see what God does with this. What does he do with this? He told me to share, but what happens is what he does. And that takes an element of faith. Element of faith. And so I was truly convicted. And literally from that point when I read Proverbs 22:12, my whole life changed. I mean, immediately it changed. And to see the truth of what the Lord was saying and said, okay, I have the responsibility to share the truth. This is the truth. Christ died for me. I'm forgiven. I have a home in heaven. You know, that's supposed to be a happy message, right? A blessed message. You know, it is a happy message. But it's God's responsibility to vindicate his word. When I share God paid the penalty, you are totally forgiven. It is up to God to reach around and touch someone, transform someone, and move them into the truth. I watch. See what will happen here. I'll see what happens, see what God's doing here. And then if something opens up, then I can share more, you know, more. And so the whole point here is to what God is doing with someone. Now, you share the gospel. I share the gospel. But it's not my job to implement God's word on somebody else. You see? I will implement. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Now I'm going to make you do it. I'm going to make you do it. It's kind of the truth. Like you get a utility bill. My job is deliver the utility bill. And I have it for the postman and I deliver the utility bill. And God says, you did your job. My job is not to say, to come into somebody's house and tell them to get their checkbook and write that out and now and do it at this time. There's no excuses. Don't tell me excuses. It's a bill, you pay it now. That's it. You know. See, me being in their house and telling them what to do with the bill is implementing what only God and their life can tell them to do. See? And so it's the kind of thing, it's a kind of oversimplification. So when they share the gospel, you just deliver to them, and God's working with them, and you're going to watch. And to your horror, some people won't pay that bill. They're going to turn their lights off. You go, they're their lights. They're not your lights. Let me do my job with them. You watch. Maybe you have an opportunity to share something, but it's me and them right now. You stay out of their house. You stay out of their house. You don't step in to their and make them do something. Oh, gosh. So like I said, it's like a whole burden lifted off of me. And I'm sure the burden lifted off a lot of people's who were in their house, and I was beating on the door trying to make them pay their bill. You know, so they were relieved too. But seriously, that's what happened when I was able to see that. I was able to see those things. And two, the thing of it was convicting to me because I was, well, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. And God said, no, you're doing, God's telling me, you're doing what I'm supposed to. So that takes an element of faith. Like, you know, God is real. And God works with other people. He says, share the word, but don't make them. You can't do that. That's not how I work. That's not. But I will use you to share the word. I will use you to share the word. And so when I looked at this whole thing, it was so, I better understood, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Just share the word. Don't add to it. Don't implement to it. You know, just do what I told you to do. Just do what I told you to do. I mean, he really clearly told me to do what I was supposed to do, but it wasn't working out just right, so I just helped him out. You know, and I just let you know, go ahead and try that. It doesn't work out good on anything when you try to help God out. Now, if he tells you to do something, that's totally different. That's totally different. But anyway, so I realized another version. I used the New Century Version to put it there. And the New Century Version, it's just more of an amplified thing. But sometimes it says it clear. It says, so look at Proverbs 17:27. This is what I learned. This is what I learned. The wise say very little, and those with understanding stay calm. I made a ministry of violating this verse. I mean, I have a lot to say. They should listen. I mean, and so, the wise say very little with those, and those with understanding stay calm. So what is, if you know, then you're calm. Not upset because they didn't pay their bill. You know, I'm getting the utility bill and they lean. You idiot. Wallace, you wouldn't have said that. Yeah, I would. I mean, it's true. Yeah, okay. But you see what I'm getting at here. But he's going, no, if you have understanding, if you understand that you just present it and let me do it and do my work and watch, you have understanding. Therefore, you're calm.